Good morning. I had a sermon in mind for today, but this is not that sermon. I may preach it to you in the future, but not today, because I decided that maybe you needed something that you could relate to better. Maybe you and I need something to help us through the coming year. Maybe something witty, though it probably won't be. Something timely, something that we can hold on to, something that we could use to start the year that we might remember. So let me share with you a story to begin with this morning. A Texas newspaper supposedly reported this story, and it's been retold by numerous ministers and printed in many books over the many years. And the story goes like this. It's a Galveston housewife had a pet parakeet named Chippy. And the woman made several mistakes with Chippy. First, she was vacuuming her floor, and she decided that she was going to clean out the bottom of Chippy's cage with her vacuum cleaner. So she took the end off of her vacuum cleaner, and she opened the door and stuck it in the cage. But at that moment, the phone rang. So she turned to answer the phone, and she forgot to turn off the vacuum cleaner. That was mistake number one. You're probably ahead of me here. Yep. Chippy got sucked through the tube and is now in the canister. So she saw that, Chippy. Dropped the telephone, shut off the vacuum cleaner, opened up the canister, and there was Chippy. Feathers all askew, dirt covering him from top to bottom. Stunned, Chippy was still alive. So what would any bird-loving owner do? She grabbed up Chippy and she rushed into the bathroom, bird in hand, and she held Chippy under the faucet and turned the water on full blast. Mistake number two. So there's Chippy fighting for a breath. He survived the blast, but now he was wet, he was cold, he was shivering. And she looked over on the counter in the bathroom and she spotted the hairdryer. So she turned it on, high and hot, and began to blast away onto poor Chippy. And the blast did the trick, but it nearly finished off Chippy. So there he was, alive, but with all his feathers ruffled. Well, she told someone who, before long, was written up supposedly in the newspaper by a reporter, and the reporter called the lady to check on the bird. "How's your poor parakeet?" he asked. Well, the reply was a little bit unexpected to the reporter. "Well, Chippy doesn't sing anymore. He just sort of sits there and stares." I gave you that story because I feel that probably some of you can relate to Chippy. You've had your cage vacuumed this year. The year's probably done you in. You've felt, at least, sucked into the dirt bag, stuck under the faucet, hit with a blast from a hair blower, and you don't sing much anymore. You just sort of sit there and stare. I believe we're born to sing. I'm old enough to remember all those Western songs. Hank Williams Jr., if you remember him, used to sing the line, "I was born to boogie." You got to be old to remember that term, boogie. Boogie. They say that the word boogie means to convey a sense of being naturally inclined or destined to live life with energy, with rhythm, with a love for music, with dancing, having a good time, I'm pretty sure I probably wouldn't agree with what Hank Williams Jr. had in mind when he said that we're born to boogie. But I do believe that we're born to sing. It's in the nature of all of us to be singers. Now I see some of you shaking your heads saying, really? I know I can't sing. Some of you can, some of you can't. You know who you are. But I don't mean singing in that sense. I mean singing as in a positive thinker, positive attitude. And that can be expressed in song, that can be expressed in praise, that can be expressed in many ways. I believe it's in the nature of all of us to be positive thinkers. My kids grew up with Sesame Street on TV. We all know the name, the phrase, Sesame Street. Probably seen the program. That program started back in 1969. And next week it's going to begin its 55th season. But it's moved from, you know, public broadcasting. Now it's going to be over on Max TV. And if somebody doesn't pick it up this year, 2025 may be the last year for that program. But if you're a watcher, as I was with my kids, of Sesame Street when they were young, back in 1980, there was a new character that was introduced. Bright Red Monster. Had a big, round, friendly face, large, kind of googly eyes, had an orange nose, but his fur was soft and it was fluffy, and therefore he was kind of approachable and huggable, and his name was Elmo. And if you were around in 1996, you may recall the doll that came out called Tickle Me Elmo. It could talk. Well, I say it could talk. It could say, that tickles. Oh, boy. It could even say, again, again. The right to make the doll was picked up by Tyco, a toy manufacturer, in its first year. Its first year, it sold over 1 million. In New York City, they had pictures of people for $28.99. 96, I suspect that you probably had a child's. You still want one. But Tickle Me Elmo had a ribbon around it. That fit with the Sesame Street brand. I say all of that story for me. That says very simply, they come to you when they're toddlers with a wet diaper on, and a runny nose, and a drooling mouth, with their arms wide open, with the expectation that you're going to grab them up, which you do. They know they're lovable, and they're willing to try anything, because God Almighty gave them, gave you, gave me a ribbon that says, I am lovable, and I am capable. And I think that's what David was thinking when he wrote, if you want to turn over there, Psalm 139. He said, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. We're special. We're wonderfully made by God. We're lovable. We're capable of doing anything. And that's the ribbon that we're born with and the ribbon that we wear until someone takes it away. My second thought. There are song stealers out there. Look back in this past year or any year. The reality is, in most people's lives, there are a lot of chippy style circumstances that steal our song. Life sucks us up into the tube. People pour water on us and drowned all of our dreams. disappointment comes and kind of blows us away. Many people believe in Murphy's Law. You know Murphy's Law. What can go wrong will go wrong. There is another law that's called O'Toole's Law, and it simply says Murphy was an optimist. We suffer grief. It's defined in terms of loss and life, and it hands us a lot of losses. Life hands us a lot of losses. And we can lose things. We can lose our job, we can lose our health, we can lose our money, we can lose our friends, our marriages, our relationships. Life is full of accidents and diseases and disasters and heartaches, and many of them come unto us unexpected. There can be all kinds of problems in life that make us think we're just like poor Chippy. We've been through it all. Calvert Robert, who was a motivational speaker, who's dead now, used to say, you can be on time one week and be doing time the next. That's the way it is. There's no guarantee that life will be fair and that the sailing will always be smooth. Sometimes we're going to get blown off course. And that's a foregone conclusion. Song stealers, that's what I call them. Some people seem to just major in that. They'd rather let the wind out of your sails than to inflate your ego. Those are the kind of people that come up and whisper to you, maybe I ought not tell you this, but you know they're going to tell you whatever it is they wanted to tell you that they shouldn't ought to tell you. Gossips, afflicted with a hoof and mouth disease. Someone said that means they're going to hoof over to somebody's house and start mouthing off. You can even steal your own song. There are people who just, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, just seem to be born spreaders of gloom and doom. Like the old lady who said, I've enjoyed poor health for 20 years. Poor health. Ever been on a plane with those kind of people? There was an elderly couple who sat on an airplane. Husband and wife, they were talking back and forth, and she was saying to him quite loudly, I don't like riding on these airplanes. Folks get on them with guns and knives, and they take you places you don't want to go. She said it so loud that the stewardess were looking around the corner. Even the pilot, the door wasn't yet closed, also looked out and wondered. And the old man said, now, honey, it's going to be all right. You run into those kind of negative thinkers all the time. The plane taxied out to the end. The runway had burst up to the clouds. It was a beautiful, smooth ride all the way there. And finally, when it came down at the airport where it was going to land, he turned to her and said, see, honey, we made it all right. She shot back, we ain't there yet. We know those folks. We give folks like that names. Debbie Downer, or that one. Negative Nancy, pessimistic Patty, gloomy Gus, bossy Betty, hyper Hank, chatty Kathy, lazy Larry, worried Wendy. We have names for people like that. And there are many names because we know many people like that. Have you ever met any of them? Or the real question this morning, are you one of them? Someone said if you want to keep a positive attitude, you've got to stay away from psychotics and neurotics. And there's a difference. They said a psychotic believes that 2 and 2 are 5, and if you hang around with them long enough, you're going to end up believing that 2 and 2 are 5. But they're not as bad as the neurotics. The neurotic knows that 2 and 2 are 4, but it worries. Somewhere in the trauma of life, like Chippy, many of us lose their song. We just started to just sit there and stare. So I want to suggest some ways we can get our song back. A positive thinking. A new and better attitude on life. Has someone stolen your song? Have you forgotten how to sing? Here are 5 suggestions. First thing, you've got to choose to sing. Some people choose to be crabbies. Choose to be croakers. Whiners, complainers. Someone said, don't tell people your trouble because 80% of them don't care and the other 20% are glad that it is happening to you. As I get older, I study aging because I'm getting older. Some people, as they get older, get grouchy. But others have a very radiant disposition about it. And it's all then a matter of choice. If you want to sing, then you have to choose to sing. Second thought. Got to take singing lessons. You know, positive attitude is really a gift or an art. Our skill, it's something that we can learn, but you can't learn how to sing unless you take singing lessons and you listen to and practice with those who can sing. That's a roundabout way to say don't hang out with the croakers or you're going to become folks like them. Rather be around those that are upbeat, those that are positive about life, and you will become like them. Third suggestion, you must think positive thoughts. Turn over to the book of Proverbs with me. Just a very short part of verse 7 of Proverbs chapter 23. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, positive attitude teachers use that and say, your life becomes what your mind is fed. That it isn't what you think you are, it's what you think you are. Let me say that again so you don't miss that. It isn't what you think you are, it's what you think you are. Bible says it over in the book of Philippians in chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Why does God give us that? Because he knows that if we can think on those things, we can become those things. Fourth, you've got to get out of yourself. What do I mean? Someone said a man all wrapped up in himself is a pretty small package. Selfishness robs us of our song. People whose thoughts are turned inward, they can't sing. They become selfish, self-centered, shallow, hollow, silent. You must do something for others. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Good words. Final thought. Fill your life with the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jonathan read a very important scripture. I want to turn back over to the book of Acts in chapter 16. It's a beautiful. The basis is this. Paul and Silas got in trouble, and they thrown into prison. Why? Because they were preaching Christ. They'd been attacked. They'd been beaten. They now are in solitary confinement with their hands and their feet fastened in stocks, chains, I guess. And how do we find them? At midnight, amongst all of this, it says they're singing and praising God. The outward circumstances in which they found themselves had nothing to do with their ability or willingness to sing. If we were there, we might be crying. We surely might be scared, anxious, worried about what would happen tomorrow. But they were singing and praising God. And only a person who is filled with Jesus can do such a thing. They knew that even if tomorrow brought their death, it didn't matter because it would only vault them closer, quicker into the presence of the Lord. Do you have that kind of positive attitude about this year that's come? Most people would want to know what Paul and Silas knew. The jailer wanted to know. Look in Acts chapter 16, verse 30. They asked the question, "Sirs, what must we do to be saved?" In other words, "Sirs, well, what do I have to do to know the indwelling of the Lord like you obviously know it? What do I have to do to have the same optimism about life like you do, even in these dire circumstances? What do I have to do so that I can sing and praise like you are singing and praising?" That's a good question. And Paul and Silas had the answer immediately. Look at verse 31. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. The answer always is, if you want to sing like they sang, then you need to accept Jesus Christ. Accept his plan of salvation. Accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. The jailer did all of those things. And what was the result? Look in verse 34. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Our world is full of cage vacuumers, water drowners, hair blowers, song stealers. But we can't just sit there and stare. We've got to sing again. We've got to live again. We've got to have a positive attitude. And the only way we can have that is like Paul and Silas said, accept Jesus Christ through faith, through repentance of your sin, through confessing that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, by being immersed, baptized, wash away those sins, and then rise and walk in a positive attitude through this life. We're not going to sing, but we have often sang a song that was written by L.B. Bridges. You'll remember. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my ever longing, keeps me singing as I go. This morning we're going to sing the song of invitation. I don't want you to sing. But not so much a song. Just to go out into this life and be positive, thank you for your Lord. Come if you will.